What's up, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of the Power Rankings, guys. We're back here ready to talk anything and everything Survivor Michigan. As always, I'm Paul. I'm here with Joe.
Hey, everybody.
And man, was not expecting anything about this week's episode.
No, I honestly am still shook. And we watched the episode a week ago. Where do we even start?
Where do we start? It was literally a whirlwind of story beats from start to finish that, like, I was on my heels the entire time.
Yeah, I was on the floor. My jaw was on the floor. I'll give Paul a pass because he wasn't feeling well, but I watched the episode a couple hours after it had posted, and I was like, how did you not text me and tell me to record my reaction to this episode? Because there were multiple moments. I was screaming. I was in all capital letters texting Paul at different moments. Like, there is just so much to even unpack with this. And I was just absolutely floored at all of it.
Screaming, crying, throwing up, the whole nine. Yes. So I am still in recovery. Mm-hmm. But man, in recovery from sickness and from this episode, it was bananas. So from the very beginning, we start out with Shannon is here. And how good was it to see Shannon?
It really was. I'm so glad we got to see her. And I loved the little idol recap that she gave us. She should have been on this season.
It was necessary. She should have been here. Yes.
We needed the idol breakdown, and we also needed Shannon on the season. But if we didn't get her as a player, I think it was really cool to see her give us a little idol breakdown. So that was very fun.
I agree. I love Shannon. Love to see. It was literally like serotonin, like at the beginning of this episode, which given the way this episode went, we needed a shot of pure joy at the beginning. And Shannon really provided that. She's just so good. So then we get into it. And the first thing we hear is the kind of fallout from this whole Sam Tom gate. And the general consensus that people are saying here is that it couldn't have been Sam because Sam wouldn't do that kind of thing. And in all caps, I just wrote down, based on what? Based on, I understand that season two is still airing, so we haven't seen everything at this point.
Yeah, but that's
like,
true.
I feel like even having gotten to know Sam over the course of doing Power Rankings, guys, for the last couple years, Sam is a fun guy. He's like outgoing, but he definitely has this mischievous side. I can't imagine what you would be seeing from Sam that would make him think, no, he would never pull a stunt like this.
Yeah, I think he's just so convincing. I mean, it's almost like you think he might have a mischievous side, but then like you almost second guess yourself. So maybe that's just what's happening. Like, people want to blame him for things, but if you sit down with him and talk with him and he's able to like continually recover from these crazy things that he keeps doing. It's pretty mind-blowing, honestly.
He's just magic. He really is just magic so far through this season. Untouchable. He's definitely...
I think I even sent him a message after the episode saying, you are a magician. So he's really incredible. Funny that you say that, because that's really what's happening.
Sam has proved totally untouchable so far. I don't even really know what to do with it. Like, he's incredible. Like, he definitely is one of the, if not the main character of the season thus far. Mm-hmm. And good for him.
Yeah.
He's killing it. These people have no idea what he's doing or what he's capable of.
Right.
I hope that continues as season two continues to air. I hope people don't kind of sour on Sam. Mm-hmm. I don't know. We shall see.
Yeah. We'll keep an eye on that.
And then then we also have Oscar Gate. Who, first of all, these kids throwing a 2000s party is kind of a lot to deal with.
I wasn't even getting it at first. I'm like, isn't that recent?
Isn't it 2006? I thought it was still 2006, right. But no.
Yeah, way to make us feel old. Survivor Mission.
They're throwing a 2000s, and it's not even that they're throwing a 2000s party. They're throwing a 2000s party and playing like California Girls by Katy Perry. So it's not even like a 2002 party or a 2003 party. They're throwing like a I had already earned a bachelor's degree by this point party. Right. I'm like, my culture is not your costume.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
Was very. But not a lot came from this aside from once again Cooper cannot keep his clothes on.
Yeah. Just okay. We are seeing a new side of Cooper.
We are seeing several new sides of Cooper. and then Oscar is who is apparently a real person.
Yes, I was very interested in that. And honestly, I wanted him to come to the party because I wanted to meet him.
Yes.
But he was apparently busy, I think is what the end result of that ended up being. But I really, again, like we're left leaving, we're wanting more. Like I want to know,
yes,
who is this guy? Like, where is he? What is he doing? What does he think of this whole situation? So
he's definitely on the list of Power Rankings guys' desired interviews.
Yes.
Like if we can secure like an Oscar exclusive, I would be very into that because again, I thought when we originally talked about this, I thought Megan made up a guy named Oscar who Same. Was her boyfriend.
Right.
Like, you know, kind of like I have a girlfriend in Canada kind of thing. I mean, we know a thing about having fake girlfriends, you and I both. Yes. Like, yeah, we've got that covered. But no, Oscar is a real person who is not dating Megan
right.
because as everyone is about to find out, Jackson is dating Megan. And we're all about to find out from Abby.
Yeah.
Let's get into it.
Yeah.
We both have lots of thoughts.
Yeah. Where do we want to start with this? It's probably a good thing that we aren't recording this until now because I feel like I've had time to process and figure this whole situation out from a viewer standpoint. But I don't know. Where do we want to start?
Let's unfold this.
Okay.
So Bailey is dating a producer
mm-hmm.
and Bailey is roommates with Abby. Is that correct?
Yes.
Am I getting that right?
So.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So Noah, the producer, is not leaking anything to his girlfriend, Bailey.
Mm-hmm.
However, Abby wants to know things about the game. And so Noah includes her in some of this, the more fun information, the things that we would think were interesting if we were on production, right? Mm-hmm. You and I have both done prod for weekend games.
Yep.
So the things you think were interesting, Jackson and Megan are in a secret relationship. There's a million fake idols floating around, basically is the gist of it.
Mm-hmm.
And Abby just decides to disseminate this information as revenge for not getting cast on All Stars.
Yikes.
This is so bananas.
Yeah. Like
this whole situation is just so bananas. You know, you and I have done crew stuff before for
right.
games. And like the number one cardinal rule is like, you know, you crewed a game I played.
Mm-hmm.
I crewed a game my real life best friend of 15 years played.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we have friends that crewed games that we've played together.
Right.
This is the cardinal sin.
Yeah. And I think like for me, and you know this, I'm like a stickler for the rules.
Yes.
And
you are.
And like, especially when it comes to any sort of Survivor game, whether it's a weekend game, a month long org, you know, a one night mini, like I like protecting the purity of the game
mm-hmm.
From like a player standpoint. So when I'm watching that, like I feel like I don't like when if someone's experience is like tainted by some sort of like a production snafu or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's like watching the show, I feel like you have like different hats on. It's like, okay, I've been like in a production situation before. So you're kind of viewing it from that. You're viewing it as like, what if I was that player who's that information leaked on that I was trusting production to keep from the rest of the players. You know, you also watch it as just like a viewer and a fan. So it was like a mix of all these different emotions. Now, obviously, it was 3 years ago, and I'm sure they have tightened up their rules what production can share. But it was, like, cringy. I understand, like, what Abby was doing, I guess, maybe. What was the other thing I was going to say? But, and I think also, like, because it was affecting Megan, I was, like, a little bit more... like, totally. No, you know what I mean? So there's just like so many different things going on with that.
Fully agree.
So yeah, I was not happy.
Well, and I feel like what it did was kill the two biggest anticipated storylines of the season so far of, are people going to find out about Megan and Jackson and what's going to happen with all these fake idols? We talked about it last week. Like, that was the things we were looking most forward to two episodes into the game, and now those balloons have just been burst in the most unsatisfying way possible.
Yeah.
And so it's really frustrating. The whole situation is really frustrating. I think Jackson's reaction of just being very angry is totally valid. And I was very like, yes, like, I'm on board with Jackson's reaction here, because that level of like anger, I totally get, because they really care about this. And I think the thing that makes these communities work, whether it be College Survivor, whether it be these live game communities that build up, the online games communities, is that it's an attempt to replicate the experience.
Yes.
And so, like, we're not on an island. We're not playing for $1 million. We don't have these grand production builds. But what we have is kind of this social contract that we all abide by, that, like, everything that happens in the game happens in the game and is protected and is precious. And, like, you know, I played a game that Joe crewed where there were two people in a secret relationship in the game, and Joe did not leak it to me, like, and would never have done it. You know, I crewed in a game where I knew my best friend of 15 years was going to play. And I knew there were going to be all sorts of twists, returning players, this, that, and the other, and did not leak a word to her. And that's the way it should be. I don't want leaked information. She didn't want leaked information. Exactly. None of us want leaked information, because the whole premise of why this works is that it is this understanding between everyone that we're creating this world. Mm-hmm. And so when the bubble gets popped, it's very unsatisfying from a story perspective, and it's kind of just like the worst thing that can happen in one of these games, you know, is to have that happen.
Right.
So it sucks. Jackson's pissed. My notes I have, this is just such a weird story beat, because there's no real way from a production standpoint or from an editing standpoint to deal with this that's like normal or like, you know, the like, oh, well, this is how we will deal with this. And so it's just kind of this very awkward beginning to an episode where it's just like, okay, cool, like,
right, yeah, I mean, you can't you can't take back what was said. You can't, you know, the players can't play on forgetting this information. There really isn't anything you can do at that point about it. It's just unfortunate.
You can't sweep it under the rug. You just kind of have to just set it there, and it's there now. It's the elephant in the room. I also have written down, this is very beside the point, but those Slack chats are just filled with legends. There's nothing but legends in those Slack chats, and I was very much like, wow, like, that's... we have a whole alternate All-Stars cast in these live chats. I was very impressed by that. So this, I guess my question is, what's the play here from production? Like, I think they handled it decently. I mean, as decently as you can handle something like this.
Yeah.
Should there have been some kind of big announcement, maybe pull everybody together and say, hey, this is what happened. We're sorry. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I'm sure, like, I mean, we don't know for sure, but, like, maybe I'm sure there was, like, some internal production thing, like,
of course,
stop leaking information to people outside of the game, connected to people in the game. I don't think bringing the whole cast together or anything like that would have, I don't think that was necessary. I'm sure there were conversations with Megan and Jackson that we didn't see. So hopefully there was some, you know, apologies or whatever at that point. But it's like, really, once the information is out there, there really isn't anything you can do. You know, it just changes the course of Jackson and Megan's game, and they have to sort of adapt to this information being out there now. And that's what I was really worried about. I'm sure we'll get to this later, but like, I thought everybody was just like, I mean, Jackson was kind of already in the hot seat on his tribe, but I was worried that all the work that Megan had put in the first couple weeks was just going to like go out the window. And I was like, if her tribe loses and they just vote her out because of this, like, I think that like, that would have been horrifying.
It would have been horrifying. We would have, I don't know what we would have done. It would have been meltdown of all meltdowns on the Power Rankings Guys podcast. So luckily the worst case scenario didn't happen. And I agree with you. I think they handled it about as good as you can handle something like this. And also, like, I have to throw this out there. In what universe was Abby getting cast on All Stars? Like I have to say it, like, how many people would have had to get cast on All Stars for Abby to be included? Like 35, 40?
I mean,
genuinely, there are people, you know, we've looked at this cast and we said, okay, there's names we wish were here. There's people who we were like a little bit confused. Why weren't they here? A lot of those names have been explained by production or by stuff that's happened in the preseason. But like, were people clamoring for Abby before this? Like, was there like a huge fan gathering that was like, Abby or we riot?
I don't know. If there wasn't before, I'm sure there is now after that episode.
Yeah, definitely. So, anyhow, we won't belabor it anymore. It was weird. It sucks. We're moving on. But Sam, again, I think this goes to who Sam is as a person and a player, as we've talked about before, but I am just genuinely heartbroken for Sam, because we see these, like, this video of Megan and Sam from like way earlier in the year where they're like talking like about this breakup, and like Sam is like the shoulder Megan is crying on. And first of all, we called Jackson American Psycho earlier in this season, and I stand by that, but Megan is showing a little bit of that American Psycho in this moment.
I mean, yeah, it was, I mean, it goes to show, like, once again, as we've talked about, like, people are actually friends in these games.
And, right.
You know, it doesn't just live under the umbrella of the game happening. So the fact that they had talked about that so far back, and once again, I don't know if we've gotten the full story on like what the full strategy was from Megan and Jackson. Like, were they dating? Did they actually break up at some point for a little bit, or who knows? But yeah, for Megan to
tell you the truth, Joe, it doesn't seem like they ever broke up.
Yeah.
It seems like they've been calculating this for months, and they made a concerted effort to create their own universe, which is amazing.
Yeah.
It's next no level. Shade. It's nothing. No. Like, I love this.
Yeah.
This is, for me, what works about College Survivor the best is A, when people take it incredibly seriously, and B, when they take it to levels that we've never seen reality TV do before.
Right.
This kind of thing. You wouldn't see this on any other show ever.
Right.
You would never get an opportunity to see someone do something this long game, this crazy, this serious. It just wouldn't happen.
No.
This is why, like, for the losers out there who are still saying, like, College Survivor, whatever, like, this is what you're missing.
Right.
This is what you're missing that you'll never get on CBS is Megan and Jackson. And her, like, pouring her heart out to Sam, and it just all being total lies.
Right.
And now Sam is just like, he's the bamboozler. He's the godfather, but he's got like, he's been bamboozled.
Yeah.
And I love it.
Yeah.
I love this.
It's, I mean, we were talking about in previous episode, like how well-ish Megan was doing at like lying about some of this stuff. And it's like, well, she's been practicing for months.
Months.
It's not like she's just entering the game and starting to like, so yeah, that was crazy. And just like seeing like a moment between friends, like it's almost like the Survivor walls kind of broke down for a minute. And we got to see Sam like try to process this, like, because I'm sure it's bleeding in and out of itself, right? It's like friend, Survivor player, friend, Survivor player. And it's like, how do you, you know, like part of your brain is like mad at your friend, but then part of like your strategic Survivor brain is like, okay, well, I kind of understand what she was doing. But then it's like, but you're my friend and you lied to me like months ago. And it's just like, I can't even imagine being in this situation. Like,
cause Sam is also one of these psycho intense Survivor people, right? It's not like she's not doing this to like Emily B or somebody who like, you know, is a good Survivor player, but isn't taking it to the level of Sam is on these people's level and he got, but also like Sam is a good dude. Mm-hmm. Like he's just he's a good person. Everything we know about him, everything we've interacted with him, he seems like a genuinely great fellow.
Right.
Who is having this large scale deception unraveled before his eyes.
Yeah.
And at times it's brutal to watch.
It really was. Like I was getting misty eyed for a second. I was like, oh my gosh.
Oh, like it's just so and then all these fake idols is the other repercussion of this, of both Sam and Adam like finding out like these idols are fake. And like, oh, and it just hurts because I love this Megan and Adam alliance. And we know that it was real. Megan is telling us that it's real.
Right.
And so it's not like, ugh, it just sucks.
Yeah.
And so much wasted arts and craftsery. All right. These fake idols just wasted.
I know.
Ugh. It hurts my heart.
Yeah.
So I think that's all I have to say, except for to say one more time that scene with Megan and Sam is heartbreaking to watch.
Yeah.
Like it's very like it was at one point it was almost giving like Chris and Holly in Maryland All Stars, but like that was like more tinged with like anger and intensity, whereas this was just pure sadness. Just sadness straight from the tap. And it was a very human moment that I would probably fast forward through on a rewatch. But what I would fast forward to is this Kevin, Will, Emily thing.
Yeah. That
may or may not be happening. I like this.
I do too. It's a very like unassuming three. And yeah, they had some really great conversations, some really good like future planning. I'm interested to see kind of where this goes. I think again, you know, not seeing the Red Tribe go to tribal at all, we've not really gotten to see any of these players really test these different, you know, configurations of alliances that they've made on their tribe. But so I think the real test is, you know, fast forwarding to the scenes for the next episode with the swap coming. I think that's what's going to be really interesting. Like all the work that all these people have done, not only on their own tribes, but cross tribes as well. Like the swap is really going to be like the true alliances of all of that are going to really come out in that next, you know, the next couple episodes based on where everybody lands.
I agree. And it seems like everybody wants to play with Emily B.
Yeah.
I think everybody has her as a part of their long-term plans, which is amazing. Right. I love that for her. Like good for her to be in that kind of spot to say like, I have options.
Yeah.
I like that. At one point, this Ottawa group is debating whether they're going to have to strip for immunity. And it's like, haven't we done enough? Haven't we done this enough?
Right. It was funny because I think it was like Sarah was saying like, oh, they wouldn't show that on the episode. And then there's Cooper, you know, stripping down.
I think Cooper was hoping that's what the challenge was going to be. I think he was ready.
He was ready.
Because we're 3 for 3 in episodes so far. it's just so weird. so what we do get to is this immunity challenge, which is just another in a series of absolutely chaotic story beats this week.
Yeah.
who I need to speak to the manager of Survivor Michigan.
Yeah,
who's responsible for this?
That's what I want to know. Interesting challenge, interesting like tasks that needed to be completed.
Yes.
Pregnancy calls, which was very much a choice in this challenge.
Okay.
I want to know the backstory to this and how it ended up here.
Who is responsible for this? This has to be one of our frat boys or like somebody in that, like somebody in that vein is responsible for this, or Dale. I don't know if he was involved in production,
right?
But this seems like a Dale special. There were no costumes involved, but it seemed that way.
Yeah,
it's fear pong, but instead of like weird eating, it's dares, and these dares are horrible.
Yeah, licking of the feet,
which no, can't even.
Yeah,
ugh, so gross. But the pregnancy thing is, I think, where we have to zoom in on. Joe, not only is this horrifying, why are they trying so hard in these phone calls? Nothing in the dare seemed to say you have to give a Tony Award winning performance in your phone call home. And yet both Bree and Sam do exactly that. For what?
Yeah.
Why?
I don't know. I mean, they're, you know, I think they're playing the game hard. So maybe they were just in that mode and needing to sell it. Was there a fine print that, like, if the parent was skeptical, that it didn't count? I don't know. That was, I couldn't even, like, put myself in their shoes.
No.
In that moment. And I don't know if I would have been able to sell it. I think my mom would have been very confused for multiple reasons.
Yeah.
I don't know. What a real moment. Like, I don't even know what else to call it, because like you're looping in your parent into this chaotic situation. And then I want to know how much time passed between the phone call and then when they were then allowed to call them back and explain that it was like, if knowing my mother, like even if it was 10 minutes,
yes,
like every single person that I probably ever knew would have known in that 10 minutes. And who knows what else? So I do want to know more about that. But yeah, what a strange thing to add to a challenge. I don't know.
Weirdest episode ever of Survivor. Just one of the absolute weirdest episodes ever. It was horrifying.
Having to pass the ping pong ball. First of all, obviously this was like pre-COVID, but
yes, I have in my notes in all caps, this is obviously pre-COVID, because gross.
It took me back because I was like, wait a second, because like I don't even like letting people like take a sip of my drink anymore when they ask. Like, so seeing that, I was just like, oh, if that ever showed up in a game, I don't know what I would do. Hopefully it just would never be there. But yeah, that was also interesting to watch.
I don't think we ever have to worry about that again in a post-COVID world.
Yeah, I would hope.
Which may be the one upside of living in a post-COVID world, because wow, that was a lot.
It was a lot.
Kevin has some illness that he is may or may not be passing around the whole tribe.
Yes, that's what I was thinking too. And I'm like, wait. I mean, first he was going to do he had like the mask on for a second. Like Kevin was ahead of his time for like a couple minutes. And then he was going to not do the challenge at all, which I was like, okay, that makes sense. Like when you're sick, stay home. That's what we've learned in the last couple years. But that all went out the window. I mean,
when he saw it was beer pong, it all went out the window.
Right.
Which is hilarious.
Yeah.
I like Kevin so much this go around. I don't know if that's popular opinion right now. I'm glad you agree. Kevin is killing it for me. frat star Kevin, frat boy Kevin, who emerged this episode, might be, I think, like, we may have found our new Danger Dale for season 5 in frat star Kevin. Because it really was a totally different personality that we saw. And Kevin and Leia, lights out. Just demolishing. Like, boom, like, boom. Like, lights out. Run the table. So exciting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he besides the being sick factor, he made the right call to stay in the challenge, because he and Leia dominated that. That was good to see. I feel like Kevin's like having more fun this time.
Yes.
I think that's something I noticed. Like, I was trying to remember, you know, as much as I could about his first season, but I feel like he's like in it more. He's having more fun with it. We love to see that.
We love to see it. I think you hit the nail on the head. He's having more fun. It seems like he's lighter, like, in the whole experience. Mm-hmm. It's less kind of the intense Kevin that we saw last time, that was like very villainous and very like, I am the smartest person who's ever lived. Like, he still got those edges that we liked about him, but it's like, it's a little more relaxed version of that, which is nice. So I'm very about it. Yep. That's the way the balls fly is a new expression that I'm using in my everyday life. It's amazing. So idol hunting happens. Adam won real idol. I'm so happy. Like, I'm trying to think of a person I've ever been happier for in that moment than Adam after the week he had. Yes.
Right.
It was kudos to you, Adam.
100%. Yeah. Like, just from literally from the last episode till now, just like a complete 180, going from having two fake idols and being super excited about it to then having one real idol and being super excited about it. I'm so happy he found one. I feel like it sort of redeemed that sort of like eek factor from, you know, the episode before. And again, he didn't know that they were fake. So we have to at least mention that. But I'm really excited he has a real idol. He didn't tell anyone about it, did he?
I don't think so.
Okay, that's always good.
Which may be lesson learned. I mean, maybe this whole weirdness had to happen for him to really learn Cooper's lesson from last week.
Yeah.
Keep it in your pants. People be sharing info. I'm going to keep that back because it was so funny to me the way he said that. But yes. And then we have this other idol that may belong to Emily B and it may belong to Andrew.
Yeah. That was a fun little moment that they kind of threw into the episode and kind of like made you forget about all the other craziness that was happening. And I like that we don't know who has it yet. I was even trying to like look at the like packaging real quick when it would flash on the screen and all this stuff, but I couldn't really tell from that.
I couldn't either.
So I'm excited to see the reveal and then like the flashback of like who hit it, who was there first, that whole thing. So I thought that was really fun to throw in.
Very excited for this. I honestly, and you know how much I love Andrew. It's well documented. I'm fine if it's either of them.
Yeah, I am too.
I think at this point, Emily B has played hard.
Right.
She's worked hard. If she has an idol at this point.
Yeah.
What's not to like about where she's at in the game at this point?
Yeah, I agree. And hopefully she keeps it to herself for a while.
Agreed.
I mean, maybe we don't find out which one is real until it's played sometime later in the season. Like, we really don't know. So
do it. I dare you. Do it. I'd be down for that.
Yeah.
And so what we're doing here is going to two different tribal councils here. I don't know. Like, let's tackle them separately.
Okay, perfect.
So this Odawa tribe, the Sarah and Paddock and Andrew and Cooper and Nick and Bailey tribe, is in these three duos, sort of. But like, it feels like in each of the duos, there's one person who's like not that thrilled about being in the duo. And then another person who's like really in on the idea of this is my partner in this game. Like they're each kind of like, to use the How I Met Your Mother, like the Reacher and the Settler, Like, I feel like each of these duos has someone who's like reaching, like, and like, yes, please, let's be in this partnership. And one person was like, okay, I guess I'll be in this partnership. So it starts out kind of like, okay, is it going to be Bailey or is it going to be Paddock? And I'm very much expecting that this four holds together. This Sarah and Paddock, a Cooper and Andrew four,
yeah,
holds together, but people are out on Paddock.
I know. And I think we said it in the last episode, like hoping that the whole Tom situation didn't come back to bite her. And it's just like unfortunate that it kind of did.
Yeah.
And I was even telling Paul right before we started this, like I kind of almost forgot that Paddock got voted out, because like Paddock and being voted out early in a game just like does not compute with my brain.
Doesn't make any sense.
So it was just like almost like once it happened, I was just like, what?
And honestly, I don't think it makes a lot of sense here why it happens. Like I don't think
either
necessarily think that a lot of people are making the right decision
no
here in voting her out. Because again, it seems like this really works to Sam's benefit, keeping Bailey in the game.
Mm.
Like, I don't understand why Paddock is a threat. I mean, I guess they're worried she's going to link up with Will and Emily, but like, okay.
Yeah.
Cares?
And right. And other people have other connections on other tribes too. So like, I don't. Yeah, there's definitely, it seemed weird to me. I don't know if there's like more to the story or whatnot, but I felt like it wasn't the right call for most of the people on that tribe. I mean, she's locked in with Sarah.
Yes.
I felt like she was pretty locked in with Cooper and Andrew with that but four.
It honestly didn't even seem like people were that locked in on Andrew at this point. Like,
that's fair. Yeah, he wasn't really in a lot of the conversations.
I really don't understand what. So at one point, I have a quote from Cooper here who says, indecision is the key to flexibility, which I think was a real hallmark of the season one Cooper game. And I think is something he's trying to do. But also, like, at some point, you have to have people that want to play with you.
Right. I mean,
everybody here is talking about how, like, we can't say Cooper's name yet because he's got these people protecting him and that person protecting him. And so we can't target Cooper even if we want to. But, like, I feel like Paddock was one of those people who was like on his side.
Yeah.
And would have been on his side. And definitely Andrew is that guy. So why Cooper is entertaining conversations with Nick about Andrew and like not immediately going to Andrew and being like, we have to get Nick out. We have to get Bailey out.
Right.
What? Like, I don't know. Like, I'm very confused by this gameplay.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't like it. I'm willing to go on record and saying I'm not about it. A, as someone who loves Andrew. B, right, as someone who loves Paddock.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just not like, this should have been a good spot for them.
Right. Yeah. No, I agree. I don't even know like what to really say about it. I think it was just, it was confusing. And I can't even come up with a reason as to why it was a good idea. So I'm
because
just
the
kind
whole
of
thing
like,
is like, for us, like we see Paddock in a game and we think, oh, legend.
Right.
Like if like, you know, if I show up to Survivor, whatever, some Survivor New England next year and Paddock is on the thing, I'm thinking, oh my gosh, great. I have a friend, but also, oh crap. Here is one of the best Survivor players there is in our community. But it doesn't seem like they're thinking that. It doesn't seem like they're voting her out because she's incredible, which is a, I'm just dropping stuff all over here, which is a totally valid reason to vote her out. Like, it seems like they're just kind of done with her. And it's partly maybe over this Tom thing, but maybe not over this Tom. Like, I don't know.
And people Tom's just seem out to be, of the game. So it's like, like move on from that situation. And like, it's very confusing to me. And I feel like, and again, we're looking at it also from like the live game community world where Paddock has won two games and would be a massive target. Shield, bring her far.
Yes.
But so I think, again, that's why like my brain is just not computing such an early boot for her. And I'm really interested in Sarah's perspective on that and losing such a close ally so early. Now, I mean, we have heard a lot of people say that they want to work with her. So I don't think it'll be interesting to see like where, what happens to her game from this.
Yes.
Because
I think
now
Sarah's probably still fine.
Yeah.
But this is like obviously bad for her.
Right. Right. That's kind of what I was thinking too. So yeah, just a very confusing vote situation. And I don't know really who it benefited.
I don't either. Except for Nick.
Right.
Who had a really great episode.
Yeah.
Kind of out of nowhere. We kind of haven't seen much of anything from him so far. But Nick had a great episode. He's able to kind of hang on for to Bailey, even though he's like in confessional, like I'm trying to distance myself from her.
Right.
But he does the right thing where he says, like, I'm trying to distance myself from her, but I'm not going to sacrifice her or throw her under the bus. Like I still want to keep her in the game. We see him having this moment with Cooper on the porch swing that Andrew comes in and interrupts. And that's super
that so
funny. So good. But also like, we don't see Cooper going back to Andrew being like, Nick's throwing you under the bus.
Yeah.
So
is
like
he keeping that in his back pocket for like a later reveal,
perhaps, maybe. But all I'm seeing right now is good things for Nick.
Yeah, yeah. It was good to see him more.
Nick in season two, like the thing that we liked about Nick in season two was that he always seemed to have the pulse of what was going on around him. Like he never was really in a position, like he never had the people around him to make the moves he wanted to.
Yeah.
But he was kind of one of, he was kind of like in the Sandra Heroes villains position where he was like, I was right about this. I was right about that. I told you this was going to happen. And so like, I'm hopeful that maybe in a swap situation, Nick can get into a position where he has people and he can make those moves. Cause I like Nick.
Yeah.
Nick is somebody who I'd like to see do well. I'd like to see him live up to his potential, which I think is very high. I mean, obviously he came within one vote of winning Survivor. So he's good. Like it's not a matter of that, but also I still feel like he had untapped potential in season two. So
yeah,
Nick is probably the one person who comes out of this. Nick wins this vote. I think even more than like somebody like Bailey, who was another option, wins it. I think Nick 100% wins the vote. I think this is the best case scenario for him.
Yeah, yeah, I agree. This vote made sense for him.
Yes. And everybody went along with it. And I'm okay with it. And I'm trying to figure out what... Oh, okay. I figured it out. Oh. There's a sign above Aaron at one point that says Babe Cave. And but I didn't write down the context. I just wrote down Babe Cave. And I'm looking at it going, but I think it's like that. in the Sexy Doesn't Float like universe of things that are behind Survivors that I can't stop fixating on when they're on the screen until I write them down. So
that's right.
All that to say, Paddock is gone.
Yeah.
Sucks.
Sad.
I did not expect this
at all.
I was really, even up until Tribal Council, I kept thinking, okay, is she going to pull out an idol? Does something happen? Is there some weird situation that happens here? But no, she just gets voted out and it stinks.
Yeah.
And I'm very sad to see her go at this point because she is a lovely person. But B, somebody who just brings flavor to every game she plays and plays hard. And we love that. So
yeah.
Shout out to her. Way too soon. And so we flipped to this other tribal council. Wow.
That's an understatement.
So I'm very interested kind of in the way all of this shakes out. Because we have Sam, Megan, Adam,
who's Lucy.
Lucy, thank you. Lucy, kind of
Slam.
In this... Yo, that's right. Yes. Yes.
Don't forget Slam.
Slam. Thank you. That's I will remember that for the rest of the season now. Slam, which is like at this point barely being held together with like a piece of bubble gum and a string. And then you have Dylan and Aaron here. And I think this is another reason this is such a weird episode. I think everybody makes mistakes here. In this tribal council. Like, I don't know that anybody is making the best move for them.
Right.
Because it feels like, as much as I'm glad this didn't happen, is there not, do Dylan and Aaron just have no working relationship with Sam and Adam that they can't say it should be Megan here?
Yeah, and that's what we talked about earlier. Like, that's what I was worried about, is just the tribe just kind of like voting out Megan because of that whole situation. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, it seemed kind of like that whole Adam and Dylan situation from the other episode where they were like trying to build trust.
Yeah.
Didn't really come into play at all.
Not at all. And we know it's not going to be Lucy because of the whole Lucy and Dylan thing from earlier this year, which obviously is, you know, that check came back around due for poor Dylan, but
right. Yeah, I guess like just, yeah, maybe they just realized it just was not a way to go, and that at least Adam, Sam, and Lucy were so tight that they wouldn't, you know, I think their just prime objective was to just keep going and go after Dylan and Aaron, and there was no
were just rock solid, even though it doesn't seem like they would be that rock solid, but they go to pull in Megan here and it actually works.
Yeah.
Okay. So we need to take this step by step because I have lots of thoughts about what happens here. So they go to pull in Megan, and at first Megan's like, no, I'm not going to do this. And then she goes to this meeting where, I mean, in fairness to Megan, it's very obvious that Megan is fourth here. Like,
yes,
even from the body language that we're getting from people and the way this conversation is going, they're not selling it.
No.
These are three good players playing not very good in this moment.
Right. I think that somebody had like a Freudian slip where they said something about like, oh, the three of us. And Megan was like, yeah, you literally just said the three of you. Let's look at Slam. What letter is last? M Megan.
For Megan.
So it's like there's so many things pointing to the fact that she is sort of a fourth. Now, I will say, and maybe I missed this earlier in the season, like, I don't remember Sam. I know Sam and Lucy were close. I don't remember Sam, Lucy, and Adam being like this strong three. And maybe I just missed something.
I think this is kind of like it's weird that these three are like, we're a strong three now. Like, even the Freudian slip of it is weird because I don't even know that the Freudian slip was actually true. Like, it wasn't actually Freudian. It was just a weird thing to say in that moment of like, we're very close. And it's like, no, you aren't. Like, who are you trying to convince? I don't think I've ever seen just the three of you in a room together before. This episode.
Right. So I was like confused by that. But I mean, yeah, I think Megan, right. She felt like she was on the bottom of that. And I believe that had Megan flipped, I think Aaron and Dylan would have been loyal to Megan for a really long time. Like, I don't think that they were just saying that.
Yes, I agree. In a way, but also like, who cares? Like,
right. Well, yeah,
they weren't going to be more loyal to Megan than they were to each other.
No.
And they were both obviously, especially Dylan has his hands in so many pots. I don't think that they were like, Megan was not going to be their new final three. I don't think. Yeah. I don't think there's a universe where that's real.
Yeah. So she goes from being like a fourth to a third.
Yeah. And I get that that's like, in some situations, that's fine, but not when you're going to force a tie.
Right.
Because she has to. So what happened? The other thing that happens is, so they're going to split the votes. So there's a 2-2-2 split, which is a very risky prospect when Megan is openly saying, like, I don't think you guys are really with me.
Right.
But they try to do it anyway. Megan decides she's going to flip and tells Adam she's going to flip.
Yeah.
Which I don't know if that's an attempt to get Adam to come with her or not. I don't know. Mm-hmm. But whatever it is, it doesn't work. So Adam goes to this group and it's like, hey, we think Megan's flipping. But then they're like, and so Sam's like, okay, well, I'm going to vote with the two of you. And then they're like, no, don't do that. Why don't do that?
I don't know.
Do that. Yes, do that.
Right.
Do that 1,000 times Yes.
Yeah, right.
Why wouldn't you do that?
Right. Then it would be 3-2-1, which makes no sense.
They almost try to manufacture their own 3-2-1, but they're on the bad side of it.
Yes, right.
Like,
yeah, that was a screaming at the TV moment. I was like, wait, what do you mean still stick with the plan? No, don't.
Literally, like, I'm like screaming.
You're voting yourself out.
Ugh. But my whole thought process is I'm like, Sam, like, just think, like, use your brain Sam, not heart Sam, not emotion Sam, not nice guy Sam. Survivor Sam needs to be present in this moment and figure out what to do. And huge kudos to him for being like, I gotta save my own skin here.
Right. Yeah, very, very glad that he did that.
Very glad. However, the whole point was to vote out Aaron. And because that was their whole original thing, was that Sam and Megan were going to vote for Aaron. Mm-hmm. And then on the revote, everybody was going to vote for Aaron and she was going to get voted out. But because Adam and Lucy are voting for Dylan, Sam has to vote for Dylan.
Right, right.
And so this crazy tie vote ends up happening. And I was watching a little, I just was able to only able to watch a couple minutes of the live stream, of the post-episode live stream, where Matthew Israel was explaining that he wasn't at this tribal council as the rules guru. So he wasn't able to say, no, you're not allowed to talk before the revote, which is why this whole thing ends up happening in the first place.
I didn't even catch that.
Because, I mean, I don't know what happens if they're not able to really talk Megan into this. And again, he didn't have a great episode up to this point, but Adam really goes to work.
I was
critical of him before the vote and well deserved, but he totally redeems himself for this episode for me in this moment
100%
where he very much comforts her and flips her back to their side and really saves what would have absolutely been a rock draw.
I know.
Because if it's a tie again, there's no, Aaron's not flipping.
Right.
And I don't think Lucy's flipping on Sam.
No.
Because Lucy has this in her head that it has to be Dylan.
Right, right.
But we don't see anything from Lucy that says she's going to flip on Sam. So I think they're drawing rocks here in episode 3.
Yeah.
If Adam doesn't do this.
Right. No, I agree. I was thinking the same thing. So yeah, kudos to him for whatever Matthew Israel had to do that day. I guess we can maybe thank that situation.
Yeah. But Sam owes Matthew a mug at Charlie's next Monday for whatever prior engagement he had that was more important than being at this tribal council, because oh my gosh.
A rock draw would have just been horrifying. And
this episode had so much chaos. I don't know that I could have handled a rock draw to top it off after all of this. We would have just been like in a shambles here. We're already in a shambles. Oh,
just as your lights turned
out. The timer lights all went off. Okay. Welcome to Power Rankings, guys. After dark.
After dark. Should I turn my lights out?
Yeah, I've got this like a very nice glow to me. But at any rate, yeah. So Dylan is the unfortunate. This is almost like how Ceree has to get voted out of Survivor, where it has to take like some very weird amalgamation of circumstances for this to happen. So I think this is a fine way for Dylan to go out. Mm-hmm. As much as I think he was playing well, he was in a bad spot, but playing well from a bad spot because it wasn't supposed to be him.
Right.
I feel bad, but also it's time.
Yeah. Yeah.
I never feel bad watching winners get voted out. I just have to say it. Like, maybe it's my personal bias as somebody who doesn't win these games, but like, I'm never like, oh no, a winner went home. I'm so sad they lost their perfect never getting voted out record, blah, blah, blah. Right. Like, I'm never that guy.
Yeah.
I'm always like,
He won already. He came back and got to play a couple weeks of an All-Stars game, which is awesome. But now it's kind of like that one winner of the season is out. It kind of moves everybody up a notch to more of like an even playing field. And You know, we kind of see where it goes from here, but we got a lot of great content from Dylan, as we always do.
He's always good. Anytime you put him on screen, he's going to be good. And that's that's the one thing about losing Dylan this early that is always a little bit wistful is like, you know, he's good for a good confessional. You know, he's good for one of these funny drop-ins. You know, he provides that for a season. And so losing him early is kind of like, oh, okay. Like, you know, some of our fun is gone.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which is disappointing.
Right. Hopefully someone, it just moves the other fun players up a little bit and we'll get a little bit more content.
Someone will emerge as the new bringer of fun in this group. Kevin?
You know, I was thinking that too.
He kind of is. He's kind of my fun guy this season. Yeah, so I
don't
mind
a few extra confessionals from
me either whatsoever. So that's our episode. It was nuts.
Yeah.
It was chaos from beginning to end. Mm-hmm. This party never paid off. Like I kept thinking this party was going to be like the big story beat of the episode, and then it just wasn't.
No, it wasn't. We didn't even really get much from it. We got a quick clip, but the Abby of it all really took over.
It was just there to make us feel old.
Yeah.
and mission accomplished.
It did.
So, So I feel a little bit bad about myself. And now we're moving on. So, power rankings this week. It was a chaos week.
Yeah.
We had a consensus number one for our first 2 weeks, who is not going to be our consensus number one. Week three.
Right.
Who do you have? Let's go through some names.
Okay. And I always just kind of I've been writing mine down in like a circle. So there's no number one, number five for me. So I'll just kind of start from the top left here. So I put Adam.
Okay.
I mean, we just a complete 180 from the episode before. He finds a real idol. He goes to work. He helps pull Megan back to their side to save them from that rock draw. All great things I'm seeing from Adam at this point. We're big fans of his, so I'm excited that I feel like his trajectory is going up and up and up, which is what we love to see.
I think that's a great way to put it. He definitely had a rocky episode, he ended the episode in a much better position than he started it, and he started in a good position.
Right.
So I feel like I totally agree. Adam's got to be here. He's somebody who I am definitely rooting for at this point and like.
Yep.
I'm digging Adam. So strongly pro Adam.
Perfect.
All right. Who else do we have?
I have who I think has maybe been on the list every week, but I have Sam.
Yes.
I mean, if for nothing else, voting for Dylan.
Yes. Saving his own life.
Saving his own game, voting himself out in some weird sort of like Tyson and Heroes versus Villains situation.
Oh.
I mean, he's playing well. He's playing chaotically. Is that going to continue at the swap? Is he going to still try to like, I feel like he's been pushing the envelope a lot. And I don't want the envelope to fall off, but will it?
Will it?
What happens to him? But he's had a strong first few weeks.
Thus far, Sam can kind of do no wrong.
Yeah.
No matter what he does, it always kind of works out for him. Even in this episode, where by all intents and purposes, you know, if Megan doesn't call Adam, like she probably shouldn't, Sam goes home in a 3-2-1 vote.
Mm-hmm.
And yet he comes out smelling like a rose.
Yeah.
It's amazing. It's definitely a charmed existence so far. How long until that bubble bursts? Because it has to.
Right.
It has to burst at some point. I don't know.
Yeah.
All right. Who else do you have?
I put Emily B.
Yes.
I feel like we're seeing a lot more from her. Like you mentioned, she's in multiple conversations. She's got multiple alliances. Like you said, the Kevin Will situation, there was the was it them two? No, it was it her, Leia, Bree, and Will?
Yes,
had a really interesting conversation. Mm-hmm. We're seeing a lot more from her, a lot of confessionals. She may have an idol. I think she's in a really good spot. And it's nice to see more from her. I know we've mentioned that before with a couple players. We want to kind of see them emerge and play more. So yeah, I've got my eye on Emily B and let's see what happens.
Yes, I love her. Earlier in the episode, I used her as an example of somebody who maybe wasn't playing as hard like before the game, but I don't even know that that's necessarily true. I want to officially retract that and say that I really think Emily B is somebody who came purposely ready to play hard and purposely ready to play in reaction to her original season, which I love.
Yeah.
It's that growth thing that we've been talking about since episode one, since Kevin brought it up, learning from your experience. And I think she has. I think she is in the hub of everything that's going on right now. And in an all-star season like this, with so many personalities, with so many strategists and so many characters, why not Emily B?
Yeah.
Like, why not Emily B to make a really deep run, to really improve on her first showing? I'm as high on her as I am on anybody in the whole game, truly. Nice. Yeah.
Awesome. Yeah. I was happy to put her on the list.
Me too. All right. Who else?
I put Kevin. Just you're like, absolutely. Yeah, I think just like coming in clutch with the challenge with Leia. Like I mean, just we said it before, like he's having fun this season, which I think is good to see. He's in multiple conversations, a couple different alliances. Yeah, I can't really say anything wrong about anything that he's doing as of right now.
Yeah. Prayer circle for a good swap for Kevin.
Mm-hmm.
Because I fully agree with everything you said, but I do think there are scenarios he could swap into that would be really bad for him. And so I'm very much like focusing my energy on swapping Kevin into a good spot. Because he seems to have this weird vendetta with Sam where he really wants to get Sam.
Right.
And Sam is like untouchable so far. So I let's keep those two separate until the merge.
Yeah.
Like, let's let that play out at merge. I'm totally fine with it, but I don't want Kevin to get sidetracked here and do revert to season two, Kevin, and stay here, Kevin. We love you.
Yeah.
This is good for you. Stay here. We love this. So I'm focusing my energy on a good swap for Kevin.
Perfect. Okay. You pick the next one.
Actually, on that same vein, I had Leia.
Okay, nice.
I think Leia is playing a fantastic game. Mm-hmm. And the reason is because I think she's playing a fantastic Cooperless game so far. And I think that's really helping her. And this is another one of those swap situations where stay far apart.
Yeah.
I do not want her to go back to that. Because as much as obviously we love Cooper, it's not a matter of that. And I think Cooper's playing a good game too, but Cooper is doing this whole inflexibility is the key to whatever nonsense game. And I don't think that's how Leia's playing. I think Leia is trying to lock in with a group of people and write it. I think she's looking for her Maison 6. You know, again, and why not?
Right.
Why wouldn't you look for that?
Yeah.
You know, if it works so well for you the first time, I am high on Leia right now, but again, stay far. Oh, no Coopers allowed on Leia's tribe. Stay far, far away. Please. Please.
Yeah.
No. So, yeah.
Perfect.
So that is my, Leia monologue that I've been hoping to give. I'm happy to give this one to Emily B if you are.
Yeah, let's do it.
I think that she is absolutely on the most improved players list.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like an all-timer so far on the most improved players list. I love what she's doing. Mm-hmm. I love where she is, idol or no idol. It doesn't even really matter to me.
Yeah, right.
I love how she's playing. I love that she's in the center of everything. I don't know that there is a bad swap scenario for Emily B right now.
No.
I think she fits into just about everybody's system right now. And why not Emily B? This is exactly how we were talking about Mallory right around swap time too. She started to emerge and we started to say it could be her.
Right.
And I'm already feeling that way about Emily B.
Yeah.
Like, and why not?
Right. And I think the swap is going to be like a good tell for some of these players. Like,
totally.
A, who ends up on their tribe with them, but then also, like, how do they navigate making sure they're set up to last long and make it to the merge at this point? So I think this next episode should, I'm already interested in who we're going to have on our list for next week. Because I think this is going to be like a really big episode for just strategies. And like I was saying before, there's been so much groundwork laid so far already with cross tribal alliances and different groups forming and stuff. It's like now the swap happens, like who's going to emerge victorious in this swap.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I hope Emily B, you know, lands in a good spot, and I'm interested to see where her game goes next week.
Fully agree. We are set up for a good one, I mm-hmm. think. I think going into this swap is going to be good. It's going to give a lot of people fresh starts. It's going to give a lot of people an opportunity to really play their game. And I think the winners are going to emerge.
Yeah.
I think the people who can really win All-Stars are going to start to emerge here. And I'm just excited for the ride.
Yeah. And we're swapping with an uneven amount of people.
17 person swap. So there's no way to swap correctly. Like there's no possible way with 17. It's a prime number. There's mm-hmm. no way to put us into groups of any reasonable number. So
yeah,
I don't know.
Are we seeing two tribes? And I think we mentioned this before, like two tribes and somebody goes to exile or something, which would be really interesting. Goes to exile
island. Is Faluke coming in the game to make it an even 18?
That would be interesting. I'd watch that.
I'd watch that. I will say what I said when it happened 3 years ago. Bring it on.
Yeah, we're I'm open in. To any Faluke content. We're here.
Fully agree. All right. Well, we'll close on that very weird note to fit this very weird episode. As always, you can follow us on social media. DM us any questions, any thoughts you have, anything you think we missed, or anything you want us to cover next week. We're down. We're here. We're going to be riding it out all season long, mm-hmm. totally unspoiled, totally ready to react to whatever chaos comes our way.
Yeah.
So as always, I'm Paul. I'm here with Joe.
And that's it. Thanks, everybody.
See you next week. Bye.
Yeah.